Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the International Mastermind Association Saturday Blog Talk Show. I'm your host, S. Janelle McNeil, and I'm with the PWI Plans with Intention Mastermind Group. Is everyone on the line?
Yes.
Who is that?
Yes.
Chad.
Chad.
Rose.
Chad Jackson.
Chad Rose, and we also have a special guest this morning. But before we get into that, we're here. We're ready to speak with you. We're talking about Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, the best-selling book, Think and Grow Rich, by Napoleon Hill. We invite you to call, text, and email everyone and let them know that we're on the air and we're live. We are about to get started. You can join us by calling in at 661-554-9219. And you can also join us live on the internet by going to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. If you'd like to communicate with us while we're live, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. And you can also join us in the chat room. We're also available through Facebook. You can join our Facebook group page at International Mastermind Association. Make a comment on our Facebook page and let us know that you're listening. And post your questions there as well. We'll be monitoring the page while we're on the call. Today we are continuing our discussion of Chapter 10 in this particular version, but the chapter of the mystery of sex transmutation in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. But before we get started with the show and with our very special guest, we'd like to tell you, our listeners, a little bit about the International Mastermind Association, and we'll be right back.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And welcome back. We are happy to be here with you. Now, our host with the most has joined us. Vaughn, are you there? Okay.
Good morning. Here I am. Hey, that's a great introduction. You made me feel so welcome.
Well, you do deserve a special introduction since you weren't visible initially when we first came on. So we have to give you your due introduction.
Well, lo and behold, I'm here. So let's get it going.
All right, let's get it going. So we have a special guest. I'm very excited about this special guest, and I'd like to read her bio. H.E. McEachern is a young entrepreneur with a proven track record of success. At the young age of 21, after receiving a B.A. in integrative studies with a concentration in business, she served as chief operating officer to a small logistics firm. After only 2 years as COO, her immense attention to detail and innovative business practices helped to increase margin and productivity by 30%. Her tenacious drive and extreme professionalism have served as a catalyst for the launching of several business endeavors of her own. Exact Professionals, founded by HE in 2006, is an administrative consulting firm that specializes in examining the small, intricate details of business logistics that make a huge difference in overall performance and productivity. HE, alongside her husband, also operates a number of successful companies in varying industries. Her business portfolio ranges from human resources and property management to real estate and small business investing. She also serves as a copy editor and proofreader for an international publication that spans over 27 nations worldwide. After experiencing success with her entrepreneurial interests, she decided to pursue another passion of hers, today's youth. Her personal devotion to the youth encouraged her to partner with several community organizations wearing many different hats, some of which include tutor, mentor, and curriculum advisor. Her tutoring and mentoring background helped her to realize this strong desire to empower the youth of today to achieve greatness in their lives and make a difference for subsequent generations. HE truly has a passion for assisting young people in discovering their purpose and fulfilling their destiny through personal development and entrepreneurial training. Her newest venture, quote, "I Still Have Purpose," end quote, prepares young ladies to successfully navigate through life and overcome the unique challenges that are faced when one experiences the loss of a mother. Regardless of the pursuit, HE truly takes excellence and enthusiasm wherever she goes. HE, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you. Are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, so we've read your bio, but nowhere in your bio did it actually mention YMA. Tell us just a little bit, and our audience, of course, a little bit about YMA.
And I apologize for that. That's actually the bio that's on our Young Masterminds website. So typically people see their bio once they go to our website. But nonetheless, Young Masterminds of Atlanta is a youth organization in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going to stop really quickly. My business partner actually had a chance to call in. She was busy this morning, but she made some time. So she's on the line as well. Shatavia, are you here?
Is she a 404 number?
Yes, 404-808.
Okay, super. Excellent. Okay. And she is live.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay,
good morning.
Yeah, there she is. So Shatavia and I started an organization called Young Masterminds of Atlanta. And Shatavia, she's actually an educator by trade. But we started this organization, and we wanted to basically come up with something that would help the youth and that would help them go further along in life than maybe we would have, well, not maybe, further along than we made it at a young age when we were younger. So we came up with entrepreneurship, financial literacy, communicative protocol, leadership, life skills, and just things like that just to help them become the very best that they can be, but also help them hone in on the skills that they're not able to tackle during the regular school year. So that's when we started the organization about 2.5-3 years ago. Our primary focus is during the summer. However, we do have workshops and things like that during the school year, but our big program is each summer, and we have different locations in the Atlanta area.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. Well, we are glad to have you, and the International Mastermind Association also has a youth component, so we definitely can relate to the desire of your heart to help youth and to guide them where they are supposed to go. So, as we are now in the process of getting started, I have to, because that's just how we roll, I have to find out how the group's week was, in context, of course, and keep it brief, please. So, everybody, how has your week been?
Not everybody at once.
I know, right? Okay, you go first. How was your week?
It has been fabulous. And I would like to say to HEM and her business partner, I feel honored to be in the presence of such young greatness.
Wow, thank you.
It's a pleasure to even be able to converse with you guys. I always find it not strange, but I find it exciting to be with like minds and like spirited people. So I thank you and I welcome you to this morning's show. And for my week, it was phenomenal. I was able to learn a few things about me, and oddly enough, I thought I knew all about me, but apparently I didn't. So it was just awesome. I had some breakthroughs in my life, and I was harboring some hurt for many years that I thought I was, you know, I was over. It was over, and I found out that I was suppressing a lot of things, and just that breakthrough. It kind of like lightened my load, so to speak.
Wow.
I'm not going to take up too much time. I do have something else I want to discuss with you guys, and I'm glad that this is the week that HE's on, because I know she can relate and give some great insight on this topic. And it's not going to take us too far off of the norm.
Okay, super. Well, self-enlightenment is always a good thing, especially if we're prepared for it. Chad, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Hey. How was your week?
Hey. Well, first of all, let me say hello to everybody. Hello. I just wanted to say to the ladies, welcome on. Welcome you aboard today.
Thank you so much.
Well, my week was a little rough at first, but right now it's starting to look a little bit better. I woke up this morning, had a little bit of strength, a little bit of energy, was able to keep it moving. I still, you know, had all of my health in check, so I felt pretty good. So besides that, my week has been okay, I guess.
Well, I guess from that perspective, you can't go wrong, so that's
You're
a good
right.
thing to be in good health and strength. And Rose.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome, H.E. and Shantavia. I haven't got a chance to meet you, but I look forward to meeting you soon. And we welcome you guys again to the radio, to joining us on the radio this morning. I had a wonderful week, a blessed week, and I believe I'm just excited about what God is doing in my life, and I'm looking forward to some great things, some new things, and enjoying my season.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I've had a better than fantastic week, and
wow,
a better than fantastic week, and not just because I've been waking up every day. That's icing, but that's icing and the cake. But it's been a really great week, and I could definitely use a couple more like this one. So before we get started, we just want to remind everyone that you are listening to the Plan With Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association, and we are here every Saturday with you at 8 a.m. to join the call. If you are calling in at 661-554-9219, to join the call, just press 1 to make whatever comment or to be a part of the conversation. And to unjoin the call, press 1 again so that we don't think that you have a perpetual question going on. So we're talking about the mystery of sex transmutation. And just to recap on what we talked about last week, we touched on what sex transmutation is and what it is not. So if anyone would like to jump in and start the conversation, that would be awesome. Okay, I'll jump in and start. So we already said that sex transmutation is not abstinence, it's not celibacy, it's not repression of a natural instinct, but it's rather channeling the desire, channeling the ultimate effect or goal of sex as we know it in this current day. And I've been doing some research on this whole sex transmutation thing just to get a better understanding. And I do believe that I have a better understanding of what the expectation of sex transmutation is. And just to put it in my own brief words, from my own brief thought, it's actually about not completing what we today know of the act of sex, how the act of sex is to be completed through orgasm. And so that's why Napoleon Hill states it's not a repression of natural instincts. The natural instinct is to have sex. So it's not the repression of sex. It's actually not completely going all the way to full orgasm. That's actually what it is. So you're still having sex, but you're not going through the act of the reproduction, which is, you know, the effect of having an orgasm. So you're still having sex, of course, within the context, but it's channeling the end effect to something of creativity, to be creative with it. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add? Oh, y'all are not light this morning.
I guess that's my cue. Janelle, I got a question. Not so much as adding. As we were discussing last week, I stood on, I think that sex is a somewhat of a, I guess you would say, fuel. And at certain times, we need to learn to channel that energy to other things, more creative things. And I believe that every person that exists, they have the power to transfer that energy to one realm or another. And because of the way society is and the way that we were raised, this is something that we see on television and you hear on the radio. You see it in every ad, almost every ad. I don't care if they're trying to sell socks, they make it sexy, so to speak. We have to learn to channel that sexual energy away from the act of having sex. I think it's stronger than just that orgasm. I think that orgasm, just like anything else, that orgasm is nothing more than a seed.
Exactly. Okay, so
Okay,
I have to cut you off. I'll apologize for it, but I have to cut you off. So don't lose your thought, okay? Don't lose it. Okay, so at the beginning of the chapter where Napoleon Hill talks about the potentialities of sex, he says, this is page 189, the very, like, third paragraph of chapter 10, the emotion of sex has back of it the possibility of three constructive potentialities. They are, one, the perpetuation of the human race. And that's what that is, Vaughn. That's what that whole seed thing is. Two, the maintenance of sound physical and emotional health. And three, the transformation of mediocrity into genius through transmutation. So in actuality, what we're talking about is taking number two and number three. Let me take that back. Well, no, let me go further. Is actually taking the energy, okay, the energy of orgasm, expelling that energy from number one and creating two and three.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Yeah. That's what that energy is. So transmute,
now,
redirect that energy.
Exactly. Now this is, I'm going to ask questions. We have such a special guest on that actually works with young people. How do we as elders? Wow, that sounds strange.
Talk about yourself.
Girl, you're right behind me. Stop it. Stop it. But how do we as elders help the young people that we're able to come in contact with learn to do just that right now?
Right.
young people are engaging in sexual acts so early that we have to be proactive in that. And how do you express those things? Because I know that those topics come up with girl talk and things of that sort. How do you, H.E. and your, or Shantavia, how do you guys deal with that and try and teach the young people how to channel that energy, even though they may not know what it is right now? How do you show them how to transfer that energy into something that's more beneficial than just having an orgasm?
Well, that is like, I'll say a perpetual lesson, and a perpetual teaching, I'll say that. Because you're right, society is, everything is built around sex. It's built around sexy images. That's what it's built around. And unfortunately, those are the things that sell the most. So we know that that's not going to stop, because as long as money's being made, no one cares about the damage it's doing. However, some of the small things I do, especially with some of the young ladies that I mentor, and it, like I say, it's kind of like a perpetual lesson, but really just explaining, as the chapter does, the real purpose of sex first and the purpose of it and kind of what happens. And that a lot of young people and adults as well don't realize what happens when you, on this myself, from a spiritual term, yoke up with someone. And so for them, it's just an activity. And in essence, it's not just an activity. And so I think the main thing is first just explaining slowly but surely the purpose of sex, what it's for, that it's more mental than physical. You have to be more mentally connected before your body will even respond. So if you can take that same energy, like you said, and make your body respond, you can take that energy elsewhere, because they'll have all the sexual energy, but then in school they're failing. Or at their relationships at home with their parents and their siblings are failing, or they don't know where they're going in life, that force is just so strong. So it's just basically, like I said, explaining the purpose of it, or explaining, first of all, I like to ask questions. I love to ask questions with youth, because sometimes you can't just tell them what you should and shouldn't be doing. They get frustrated that way. So you have to kind of engage with them. So I kind of ask questions, like, why do you do this, or why do you want to do this? Or I'm very real with my young people. So I'll just ask them the raw questions. You know, what made you want to do this? What desire did you think you were going to gain? Was it as expected? Is it a constant desire thing? Is that something that you can want to continue to do? And why? What else can you be channeling that to? So it's really just digging deep and kind of getting into their head slowly but surely, because it's a little complex for them, because what's portrayed in our society has nothing to do with what's talked about in this book. It's just kind of portrayed as a one-track thing, pleasure, 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 that's it. But after you get that pleasure, 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 what's next? You're still empty. So it's just a slowly but surely perpetual thing of just kind of helping them realize, and then in that they slowly realize, okay, I am more than just this activity. I do have a little more to gain, and I can take this energy and channel it elsewhere.
Right. At the very bottom of, we don't really read a whole lot from other sources, but I found this article and I wanted to read this article and then read something from the book. Let's see. Okay, I'll start from, and this is actually an article from a blog, which I know for anyone who is a writer or researcher, I know the sin I'm about to commit reading from a blog, but I'm going to do it anyway. So where do humans get the idea that sex must always lead to orgasm? At first, I suspected a primitive mammalian mating program which delivers a reinforcing yes with each climax. Turns out there's more to the story. And then it goes on to talk about something else. Grant me chastity and continence, but not yet. Less well known is Church Father Augustine of Hippo. His conclusion that because sex is a consequence of the animal in man, okay, which, put a pin in it right there, then I go to page 190 of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. which at the beginning of the page he says repression of natural instincts, animal and man, natural instincts. And then in the 1-3 paragraph, the desire for sexual expression is inborn and natural. The desire cannot and should not be submerged or eliminated. So his conclusion that because sex is a consequence of the animal and man, and animals have no interest in using sex to foster love or unity, the proper use of sex in marriage is strictly for breeding. And then it goes on to talk about the different animals actually that their sexual practices. And there are times that, and they're talking about primates, but in the article they're talking about primates, the writer's talking about primates, but they talk about how a lot of times the act of sex, even for primates, is not about reproduction, but it's about forming a bond, you know? And so if we turn that back over to ourselves as humans, sex does not always have to be about reproduction, or a lot of times it's not about reproduction, but getting to the part of reproduction. Does that make sense to anyone?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So it's just like, you know, like the book says, it's transmuting all of that energy into into something, a chosen field or endeavor or a desire.
Right.
And, you know.
Danielle.
And also having willpower as well, too. And the willpower plays a big role in it, you know, when doing that.
I've
said that for years. Not knowing Napoleon Hill's view on it, I just watched how other creatures on Earth, how they operate during that sexual time, that desire time or that time where they need that release. If you've ever owned a dog, it's only a certain time when they are in heat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it laugh, giggle, whatever. It sounds
Hold on. I actually do that because while I have had an absolutely wonderful week, I have minimally 3 times every single day had to get my dog from my neighbor's house or down the street.
Oh,
he has dug so many holes underneath the gate that I spent like 10 minutes yesterday looking for holes. My neighbor has a new dog. She's a female dog now that she did not have before. So he's been getting out every day. He's digging like crazy.
That's what little boys do.
So that's why I kind of chuckle like that, because I know that firsthand.
No, but you have to train them. I mean, it's the same exact thing. You have to be trained. Sex isn't a bad thing. See, a lot of times we were taught that, sex is only for, you know, don't have sex like it's a curse or something. Well, in actuality, it's not. We're misusing that energy. We're misusing the sexual desires. Just like anything else, you can misuse food and it'll beat your brains in. You'll find that I'm looking in the mirror right now. I have on my 3-piece suit with my tie. I got dressed for this morning show. Being
Vaughn.
Cut it out.
And that's his wife. Oh, Vaughn, cut it out. Okay, so we're about to go to a commercial break. And after we get back, we will continue our discussion, and we will also invite the master builder, Ann McNeil, who is every day building, helping others, and building one for herself, but helping others to build healthier, stronger lives. So we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com. www.facebook.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook.
And we are back. You are listening to the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. I'm Danelle McNeil, and with me today I have Rose Young, Vaughn Young, Chad Jackson, and our very special guest, H. E. McEachern, with Young Mastermind Atlanta. So is everyone ready to continue this conversation, sex transmutation?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so we're moving forward, and we'd also like to invite the organization's founder, Anne McNeil, to call in. We know that she is out there listening, as she so diligently does every Saturday morning. So as soon as we know that she is on the line and ready to speak, then we'll go on ahead and open up her mic. So let's continue. Chad, now you were the first on the line this morning, and I know
right.
that you're ready, so we're going to let you have at it. Oh, wait.
Okay.
But before you do, let's go on ahead and let us welcome our own master builder building stronger and healthier and happier lives. Good morning, Mrs. McNeil.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder building stronger and better lives through masterminding. And I'd just like to go to the beginning of the chapter of sex transmutation, because as I've listened to all of you this morning, I just want to come back to the book for a second, if that's okay with everybody. Is that okay?
Do your thing.
All right.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Page 190 in the book, the version that we're using, Think and Grow Rich, the original version, Restored and Revised, Napoleon Hill says, the transmutation of sex energy calls for the exercise of willpower, to be sure, but the reward is worth the effort. The desire for sexual expression is inborn and natural. The desire cannot and should not be submerged or eliminated, but it should not be allowed to dominate or dictate one's behavior. It should be given an extra outlet through forms of expression which enrich the mind, body, and spirit. If not given this form of outlet through the process of transmutation, it will seek outlets through purely physical channels. A river may be dammed and its water controlled for a time, but eventually it will force an outlet. The same is true for both. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. The same is true for the emotion of sex. It may be submerged and controlled for a time, but its very nature causes it to be seeking a means of expression. If it is not transmuted into some creative effort, it will find less positive, less productive outlets. Fortunate indeed are those individuals who have discovered how to give their sexual emotion an outlet through some form of creative effort, for they have, by that discovery, lifted themselves to the level of genius performance. And so I just want to just continue to come back to the book, and I'm excited about the guest today and looking forward to hearing from the guest and also from all of you. So thank you for the opportunity to share. Good morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good morning. Okay. Is it on me?
Yes, go ahead, Chad.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to say about it was, it basically lines up with what Ms. McNeil just said, is the creative part of it, and the fact that that it is a desire that we see that, you know, as being human, that is one of our desires, or being, like you said earlier about being related to animals and how we are related as far as being mammals and certain desires that we do have. Like you even mentioned about your dog, but the transmutation part, the creativity, or the action part of what it's speaking about, is what is the most mind-blowing thing to me, because we see that through the desire for sex that one person can create elaborate schemes or intricate songs or poems or these type of things that most of us find very beautiful to the ears or to the eyes, different arts and, you know, different forms of different dancing and things of these natures that people create, all because of the desire for sex. And the transmutation part, if one, like she just stated, which that line was one of my favorite lines, I highlighted over and over again, that one can be lifted to the level of a genius. And I think that's very important for us to understand, is that all of us have these features or these things or abilities in us, but how it's drawn out of us makes the difference. And sex transmutation is one of the ways that we can draw some of these abilities out of us by finding a way, another outlet to fill those desires.
And you mentioned genius performance, which are the last two words on the bottom of page 190. I'm actually going to skip over to 192, not to really take the conversation from there forward, but just to talk a little bit more about genius. Napoleon Hill says in about the second to last paragraph, he says, one of the definitions, or a better definition from a previous definition that was given, is an individual who has discovered how to increase mental intensity and concentration to the point where he or she can freely communicate with sources of knowledge not available through ordinary levels of thought. I actually thought about fasting when I read that, because those of us who have fasted, particularly from food, but whatever your vice is, know that when we fast, even though we've already made it clear that sex transmutation is not fasting from sex, it's not celibacy, it's not repression, but when we allow another part of ourselves to, or when we disallow a part of ourselves that is normally dominant to not rule us, then that heightens our sensitivity to other things, or in this example, to a source of knowledge not available through ordinary levels of thought. So I thought about that when you mentioned genius, Chad. If anyone would like to join the conversation who is not already a part of the call, we just want to remind everyone to press 1 on your telephone keypad so that we can know that you'd like to join the conversation. I'm going to go on and read, unless anyone has anything that they'd like to add. No? Okay. The person who thinks will want to ask some questions concerning this definition. The first question will be, how can one communicate with sources of knowledge which are not available through the ordinary intensity and concentration of thought? The next question will be, are there known sources of knowledge which are generally available only to geniuses? And if so, what are these sources, and exactly how can they be reached? And he goes on to say, I shall offer proof of the soundness of some of the more important statements made in this book, or at least I shall offer evidence through which you may secure your own proof through experimentation. In doing so, I shall answer both of these questions. And then he goes on to talk about genius is developed through the sixth sense. So, again, I just wanted to mention that that statement of what is a genius? How do you determine what
genius performance, or how do you derive to that?
I would like to add a piece.
Yes.
Well, when I think about that particular situation in light of, you know, one's performance or one tapping into another source of learning or another source of knowledge, I think about, let's say, you know, you have a child, you know, we're dealing with the youth a lot with the IMA. Let's say you have a child and the child is at home, the parents are at home, and they want to sneak out to see a boyfriend or girlfriend. Somehow that child devises a plan, comes up with a plan, and able to that allows them to leave the house and make it to wherever their said location is. Those type of things, how, you know, against all odds, sometimes you find a way to go find that old loved one that you, you know, that you fell in love with in high school, or run across that person, you know, to go all the way out for that particular interest is what I believe is talking about tapping into as far as other forms of, it's almost like survival to me, the way I look at it. Like at the end of your life, you learn how to fight in different ways. You learn how to take different means to accomplish different goals and things like that.
So Chad, what you're saying is like Danielle's dog digging holes around the yard.
Exactly. Exactly.
We become creative in a way of getting what we want. We now have to learn to be creative, or use that same energy that we use to be that creative to accomplish our goals. We need to use that same power to be creative in accomplishing our goals in life.
Yeah.
I would like to ask Ms. Shantavia, if she would, to enlighten us a little bit. Just give us a little bit.
Let me see if she's on.
No, she's actually not on. No, she's not. So you can actually take that. You can take that question.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Anybody?
Hi,
Ishi. I'm sorry, I was talking on mute. Okay, no, listen, I heard you were piggybacking on what Chad was saying. What was your direct question to that?
Well, as much like yourself, I'm doing my best to help build a better set of young people, so to speak, a new generation of empowered young people. When we find those creative juices, and like Chad say, you can put bars on the window if that's their desire. They find a way no matter what. You know, how do we find a way no matter what to show them? Listen, utilize that energy, and I want to do one more thing. If Miss Angela M. Williams is out there, I would love to hear her voice today. If she's out there, somebody contact Miss Angela, because I know Miss Angela has words of wisdom for us. But I'm not talking about H.E. and Vaughn. How do we, as the elders, once again, learn to practice what we preach? Or the other way around, preach what we practice, because sometimes in our households, in our society, we don't talk about this part of life with young people.
Right. I think one of the things,
go ahead.
One of the things that Shatavia and I did, and Shatavia, she's kind of in and out today. She has a lot going on this morning, but so she may chime in later, but One of the reasons why we did want to start an entrepreneur module with our organization, not only because of the economic climate and for, you know, young people to go ahead and figure out how to be financially independent regardless of what's going on, but also for creativity purposes. It's amazing that each summer they actually get a chance to start their own businesses, one of the main things that we said we wanted to do, Shatavia and I, we did not want to stunt their creativity. Unfortunately, in regular school systems, they learn and they have tests and, you know, a tight curriculum, and they're not able to go outside of that. We wanted, and with that, you see a lot of problems. So you see a lot of, they don't have a lot of creativity, so you see the problems of getting in trouble, of having sex with each other, and it's all these different emotional issues. We wanted them to have a chance to be creative, and so we let them literally form their business from the bottom up. All we did was kind of steer them a little bit. So I bring that up to say that it kind of goes back to what Chad was saying about the creativity of just allowing them to channel that energy and to pretty much kind of do their own thing and form that take that desire and put it elsewhere. Also, with their dream boards that we allow them to make, it forced them to say, okay, what do I really want to do? It was actually a task for them because they're not used to channeling that energy elsewhere. They're just used to being kind of told what to do or being talked at or preached at, not saying, okay, you can kind of channel this on your own. And so I say the answer to your question is to just allow them to be creative in the areas that they may be good at, or maybe if we see a child doodling or, you know, maybe just kind of drawing on the side of the paper in school, that's not just them maybe, you know, being bored or not paying attention. That could be a secret hobby, and then it's shut down. So then where does that energy go? It goes to the friends and the girlfriends and the friends after school or during lunch or to kind of get into mischief, but allow them to push that energy toward one of their hobbies. And like you say, practice in what we preach. We have to do the same thing as adults, because a lot of times we get caught up in life. We get caught up in working and family and the routine, the mundane routine of life. And then we have the same issues. I was at a leadership conference in Nassau in November, and one of the speakers from Detroit said that, and he's a pastor, but he said every single Thursday without fail, his family knows that he is going down to the basement in his man cave and he is creating, because he's a creator. Outside of him being a pastor and being this and being that, he loves to draw, he loves to do art, he loves to create music, he's a musician, so he has a lot of creativity in him. But he said that he found over the years of getting bogged down with things, he kind of, that was suppressed. And so he makes it his business because he found, like we said, that it helps him to continue to come alive. And that's the same thing with sex. When you suppress it, you feel like you're kind of in a box. And so it just kind of helps him create. So we have to do the same thing that we're asking our children to do, because they learn after us. So if we're not doing that, they're not going to do that. So I hope that answers your question.
I hope it does. I want to, and I know, Vaughn, this is yours, but I just have to. You mentioned creative, and I'm glad that you did, because in the section that I, well, no, the next section where I mentioned genius is developed through the sixth sense, there was actually something that I wanted to read, and it's kind of long, but I'll just go on ahead and read it. Genius is developed through the sixth sense. The reality of a sixth sense in human beings has been well established. This sixth sense is creative imagination, which is, you know, what you're talking about. And I think it's very interesting that he has a creative period. You know, a lot of people have their faith period, their meditation period, and he has a creative period. And I like that. I like the idea of that. The faculty of creative imagination is one which the majority of people never use during an entire lifetime, which I think is like, wow. And if used at all, it usually happens by mere accident. A relatively small number of people use with deliberation, purpose, and forethought, in all capital letters, the faculty of creative imagination. Those who use this faculty voluntarily and with understanding of its functions are, by definition, geniuses. So here we have another definition of genius, and I'll read it again. The relatively small number of people use with deliberation, purpose, and forethought, not afterthought, but forethought, the faculty of creative imagination. Those who use this faculty voluntarily, not by mere accident, like was just read a minute ago, and with understanding of its functions are, by definition, geniuses. The faculty of creative imagination is the direct link between the finite human mind and the infinite intelligence and so-called revelations referred to in the realm of religion, and all discoveries of basic or new principles in the field of invention take place through the faculty of creative imagination.
Yeah.
So I just thought that that was very, very interesting.
I've had different activities, different personal, I like to do a lot of personal development, as you guys do as well. And one of my mentors, he do an activity where it's just a creative activity. And he may mention something, and, for instance, he does things about a business creation. He talks about how anybody can run a business, and basically you just have to, the whole time of thinking outside the box, just really, what that really is doing what you just read, what most people don't do. So we consider that thinking outside the box, because no one really does it.
Wow.
And so when we do it, it's like a big thing, but it's like that's supposed to be the regular of what we're doing daily or weekly or whatever. And so we'll just do these activities, just plain Jane activities that trigger your brain that you never do otherwise.
Right.
And you're like, oh, this is for the kiddies, but no, it's for us, because the older we get and life happens, that suppresses, and it suppresses, and it suppresses, and it suppresses. And so, like I said earlier, we just get in this mundane routine of life, and then we're just like, okay, so what next? And so when we do something different, like you say, it's either an accident or it's this big, oh, we're thinking outside the box. Like, no, you're supposed to be doing that anyway. The box shouldn't even exist. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And let me just read this part, and then I'm going to open up the line for those who have their hand up, to also touch on what you just mentioned. On at the bottom of page 193, Napoleon Hill says, when ideas or concepts flash into one's mind through what is popularly called a hunch, they come from one or more of the following four sources, the first one being infinite intelligence, the second, one's subconscious mind, wherein is stored every sense, impression, and thought impulse which ever reached the brain through any of the five regular senses. Third, the mind of some other person who has just released the thought or picture of the idea or concept through conscious thought, and thereby we have our, is where we get, which a lot of times happens, in our masterminding alliances. And then fourth, the other person's subconscious storehouse. I just wanted to read that to touch on what you just mentioned. We have about 8 minutes left. I'll take that back. 7 minutes left in the show, and your line is open. Hello, your hand is up.
I'm unmuted. My apologies. I just wanted to just kind of reiterate what was said, and it is so exciting because, you know, our favorite book tells us that we are creative beings, and like your guest just said about the minister having a creative time. One of my favorite books by Julia Cameron called The Artist's Way talks about how we suck our creativity oftentimes causes many, many, many illnesses in our lives. And so it is such a powerful subject. This is one of the reasons why we have creativity as a part of our masterminding process as an area we want to set goals in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Rose. I actually read that book recently, and that is, it does talk about, just like the pastor did, the AG spoke about, going into a quiet place or being able to be in a quiet area and listen to yourself. You know, no music, no TV. And a lot of us tend to, when we're alone, we like to have the TV on or the radio going. And now you're suppressing that time, or that creative part of your mind, or that energy from being active.
Right.
Yeah, so I like that book too. That's a great book to read on creativity.
So with our last 5 minutes, does anyone else on the line have anything that they'd like to share before we briefly start to talk about our annual conference, January 11th and 12th, which we are all very excited about? Any last remarks?
I would just like to say thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it, and it's a great conversation, and I will be tuning in on Saturdays now.
Awesome. We're glad that you're
also,
glad. Thank you.
Also, Danelle, if she could plan to join us and maybe bring some of her kids
so
to our annual conference.
So the event that we're referring
to thank you.
Is the International Mastermind Association annual conference, January 11th and 12th. Oh, we actually have a caller, so I'm going to interrupt myself and let the person know with the last four digits, 7226, yes, 7226, that your microphone is just about open.
Hi, this is Imelda from
Paul
Tepecker Mastermind Group. Good morning.
Welcome.
I wanted to chime in a long time ago, but I was still walking. But I just wanted you guys to know that I really enjoyed the show, and really, I really had to go over and read that chapter over again because the things that you all discussed about sex is very interesting, and it has really blessed me this morning. So I just want to say keep up the good work.
Thank you. Are there any thoughts that you have that you'd like to share in relation to any previous readings that you've done on it or some enlightenment that you have?
No, not really. My mind is just so focused on the sex part that you all were thinking about. Wow, if I had put a lot of my energy into the dreams and visions, ideas I had, instead of the relationships I had, I wonder how far off I'd be right now. But it's never too late to start over and to finish and be completed. So.
Definitely.
I have a statement, and I want us to think about this during next week's show. I want us to think about this all week. Is it safe to say that when male and female, and I know that statistics prove this, once male and female have reached their sexual peak, and when I say sexual peak, I mean where, you know, that part of their life is not so important. That's when they, and I know that it's a fact, and I'll get the statistics. That's when they start to reach levels of success. Is it safe to say that, unknowing to them, now that their focus is not that 19, 20-year-old sex-crazed person, once they get that out of their system and they're able to start focusing on success and other parts of their life? Because that energy has been placed somewhere else.
He actually mentions that, and I'm kind of sifting through to see where that is, but Napoleon Hill actually mentions, I don't know if you can help me with that. I know that you were doing some deep reading this week.
I don't have my book in front of me, but it does. It's,
He says basically that it's after the age of 50.
Right.
Right. And I think it's for the exact reason that Vaughn is saying what he's saying. And so you're absolutely right, Vaughn. And I think for those of us who are on the line who are over the age of 50 would 100% totally agree with your point.
Well, amen. Here I am. Now my thing is learning before I'm 50 because I want to beat the odds. Is learning how to channel that now, you know, and also learning how to teach my children to channel
exactly
that.
Exactly. That.
Right,
yes.
And it can be done, and it starts first with willpower and, and activating that creativity.
It also starts with staying in both of these books. The book, which is the Bible,
yes.
Especially
yes.
The chapter of Proverbs, but also this book in terms of Napoleon Hill and as families. Anybody who's listening to this, especially people who will download this program in the future, please get a copy of both books and read them both with your family at least once a week. So the same exact conversation we're having on this radio show, Every one of us can have that same conversation within our families. We don't have to wait till we get on the show. We don't have to wait till I hear the laughter in the background. We don't have to wait until we get into our mastermind groups to have this conversation.
Right.
I agree.
You're absolutely right, Ms. Ann.
So Vaughn, that's how you do it with your kids. You start them now, reading this book at home. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
All righty. I'm gonna say this in closing, Danelle.
Yes.
And I have to. I told you I wanted to bring something up. I ran across a brochure, and it says, what's most important? And then it goes on to have numbers, and it says, 1, a game console, $300. Having the hottest shoes, $150. A cell phone bill, $60. And it's talking about for your children. The latest video game, $60. Now, the next line, it says, or invested in your child. Because we as people, we think that investing in our children is having all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But investing in our children is teaching them to do things like mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Spending that extra time or that extra money, going out of your way of, I just got off work and I don't have time to take him to tutoring. What's more important?
I agree.
We have to show our children. We have to show our children the importance of sex transmutation and so on and so forth. There's so many things that we weren't taught, but because we have knowledge now, it's our right. It's our duty.
The
next generation to plant that seed, because the seed wasn't planted in many of us. And you know how I feel when it comes to the next generation, the young people. Not only am I a father, I'm a person that wants to see the people around me just do better. I want to see that. I want to see young entrepreneurs. I know that everybody isn't going to school and going to get a master's or even a bachelor's for that matter, but I do encourage any and everybody, whatever your child's gift is, listen, they have to operate within the realm that God has given them. They have to possess what God has given them. And by us allowing the television to raise our children or allowing only the school systems to educate our children, we're taking food out of their mouth. We're not giving them the bread that they need to be healthy young people. We think about health and we think about he needs to go jogging, but what about his mental health?
You gotta do more.
And his spiritual health.
There's so many other factors. I was at a football game last night, Danelle, and I watched these young kids. Everybody had on $150 sneakers and nice 10-carat gold chains and things of that sort. And I'm saying, wow. And not one of them own anything. They don't own anything. Kind of legacy that they leaving for their children, and it kind of like had me deep in thought all night. You know, I want that for the children that I engage with. You know, and I'm gonna leave that alone. It just touched my heart so heavy, and
you can hear it.
This is it for real. Straight up, we have to do more. We have to do more. I think. Miss Ann, not because I'm trying to suck up to Miss Ann, because I genuinely thank Miss Ann for investing in young people like myself. Mm-hmm. When I met Miss Ann, I was 19 years old. That's been 20 years ago. Sad to say that I'm just getting it, but guess what? I still remember. You know, I remember the things that she taught me.
Because at 19, Vaughn, you was trying to chase another 19-year-old.
Well, and I, actually at 19, I was trying to chase the wrong kind of money. Actually, at 19, I was trying to chase another kind of money.
Throw that out there.
But the good part about that, Vaughn, you made a good point. You said that, you know, it may have taken you a while, but you got it. And the important part is that seed was planted.
Right.
That's the important thing. I can think of, you know, she was planning to me at a very young age by my mother. I mean, I went wayward for years, and no one could have told me I would be where I am now. I have not arrived, but I am a lot further along at my young age than I would have been
had, you know, so that seed being planted, like, that's good. So that's another thing that we have to do as we're talking about youth, just plant those seeds. And that's why I said earlier it's kind of like a perpetual thing, because it's like it may not hit the first time you talk to them about certain things.
Right.
It may not hit the second or the third or the fourth time. But it's like they're listening. They may not change their way the next morning, but it's like that seed is planted. And I think the biggest part of our responsibility as adults is planting those seeds in the children, in the youth, in the young people. That's the biggest thing we can do, because it may not, like I said, it may not grow up immediately. It may not hit them until they get 25. But guess what? What about those who didn't have a seed, that seed put in them, and it didn't hit them at all? Whether it be 25 or 30, then not at all. So I think that's good what you're saying.
Amen.
Danelle, I have to evoke executive privilege. Can I get your permission? Because I've got to make a comment, please.
You must be watching me someplace.
This is Ann McNeil, and I am loving this. And I have invested the last 40 years of my life for this moment in time. This is when you know why you exist. And so very often we teach and talk about what to do, but we don't know why we're doing it. And when you talked about, all of you just talked about planting the seeds and investing in young children, each of us have got to ask ourselves, how many people are we going to bring to the International Mastermind Conference annual meeting? This annual meeting is about planting seeds in the minds of young people at heart, young people of mind, body, and spirit. And as Vaughn said, they may not grow when you want them to, but as long as we continue to add water and weed and prune and nurture that seed, it will grow into what it was planted to grow into. Because an acorn seed is not going to bear an apple tree. It is not. So if we are willing to continue to invest in children, we must, please, everybody under the sound of my voice, including the people who will download this radio program in the future, please join us. And Danelle, but before we end, if you can take us out on the conference information again, it is January 11th and 12th in Boca Raton at the Embassy Suites. And the information is on our
not at the end of this week. You said at the end of this week?
Embassy Suites Hotel.
Oh,
Embassy Suites. January 11th and 12th, 2013. But I have to make this other comment about Vaughn. Vaughn,
I'm here.
You have got to tell your story, and I'll get with you off the call and we can discuss this in detail. But there's so much of your story that only you people, you can only reach those people. None of us on this call can reach them. But you got to craft a story, and you got to tell your story, paid and unpaid, because those are the seeds that you would plant that we can help you water, but only you can plant those seeds. And our guests, thank you so very much for coming on. You have so encouraged us to continue to invest in our youth. And Rose, I thank you for continuing to read and upgirding your family. And Danelle, I don't know what else I can say about you, because it is because of you. It is because of you that I do what I do. And Chad, thank you, brother man, just hanging here with us. And please just continue to have a vision and do trust and believe that you must have a dream and have a dream come true. So I am truly signing out for the last time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Miss Ann, I want to pick up on Miss Ann. Miss Ann, I have a few things that I can say about Danelle. And I'm not sure if we can say those things over the radio.
You probably should not.
I have a few things, and we'll just discuss those things later. But you know, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, I know that's right.
Yes, transmute.
Yeah. You know what? It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. And Ms. Ann said something early in the week, and I think that this is important. Let's not just, and I'm not talking about just the PWI group, just people, let's not just get on this phone call and listen on or log on. And, of course, I'm encouraging that, but let's not let that be the end of our masterminding for the week. We need to engage in conversations with our own mastermind groups. just like this during the course of the week, it'll actually help us. Why? Because we'll be in tune to what is coming up for the Saturday show, and two, it's some things that you know you can't discuss on the air the way that you would within your own comfort zone. So people, let's just let's find time during the week and really, really mastermind. Not just following our goals. There's more to it than writing goals and following those. We have to be hold each other accountable for something. So let's start our accountability at actually getting into this book and discussing it and learning more about what's going on in the book, in the text.
This is Danelle, and what I want to do, since we're talking about seeds and legacy, I actually had an epiphany maybe about 3 weeks ago, and I realized that, and I invite everyone else to consider this and maybe realize it for yourselves as well, that my first mastermind partner, not like the first ever in life, but my first mastermind partner in terms of priority is actually my son. And when we're talking about legacy, and I like to hear my mother talk about legacy, but when we're talking about legacy and planting the seeds and planting the seeds of legacy, it is my responsibility as his mother to help him mastermind, to help him goal set, to teach him those things, to teach him about sex transmutation, because if I don't teach him about sex transmutation, someone else will invoke their meme of sex, period. Not mutation, right. Transmutation, but their thought process and their beliefs of sex onto him. And so I encourage everyone, especially if you have children, and especially if you are married, that when you're considering masterminding and you're considering a mastermind alliance, maybe you can't mastermind everything, but there are certain parts of your lives that you share, that you are responsible to one another for masterminding and dialoguing and transmuting and that just the whole synergy that comes along with that. So that's the first thing I wanted to share. The next that I wanted to share, since we're talking about planting seeds, I'm going to run the commercial in just a minute, but I'd like to make an offer, okay? In the spirit of inviting everyone, it doesn't matter if you live in Dade County, Broward County, Alachua County, Lee County, if you live in some other county, in some other state, people are always coming in from other states. People are traveling to come in to join us at this annual meeting of the minds. I'd like to make an offer that if whoever listens to this today, now you have between now and like midnight, that I personally will pay for a registration. You have to inbox me, though. You have to inbox me. We have to have some type of dialogue. At S, like super, Danelle, D-A-N-E-L-L-E, McNeil on Facebook, inbox me. Do not post it on my page, please.
Wow, what a deal.
I know, right? S. Danelle McNeil, S-D-A-N-E-L-L-E, McNeil, M-C-N-E-I-L-L. Let's inbox me, let's dialogue, and I will pay for your one person's registration. And I do believe I have, is there such thing as, can executive privilege be transferred? Anybody, does anybody know how that executive privilege thing works? Transference?
No, okay, you have to get consent.
Can I get consent, please?
Okay. Go ahead, Janelle. You have consent. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've just been given consent by the organization's president to also offer, if you register and join between now and 11:59. If you register, people are inboxing me.
already.
Already? All right.
If you register and pay for your registration, oh my goodness, people are inboxing me. Wait, you guys, wait, we're still broadcasting. If you register and pay for your registration, the organization will provide to you a membership. I'm not sure which level, so I'm not going to put that out there. However, I will state it again. Number one, if you inbox me at S. Danelle McNeil on Facebook, and let's have a dialogue about this whole masterminding sex transmutation conversation and your what's what you think about the Blog Talk Radio show, I will pay for your registration to the annual conference, and I'll run that commercial in just a minute so that you have your information. But you have to do that between now and 11:59 p.m. tonight, okay? And if you register, again, between now and 11:59 tonight, if you register and pay for your registration for the annual conference, the organization, the International Mastermind Association, will provide to you a membership into the organization. So with that said, we're going to go on ahead and run the commercial for the conference so that you have the information that you need. And then after that, we will be seeing you next week.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of Start your year with full accountability and balance. Join the International Mastermind Association Friday and Saturday, January 11th and 12th, 2013, for the International Mastermind Association annual retreat in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. The International Mastermind Association annual retreat is a day and a half of accountability, creating, sharing, and celebrating goals and accomplishments with like-minded individuals that are living their lives on purpose. You don't want to miss it. For registration and more information on this life-enlightening event, please visit our website at internationalmasterminders.com.
And we are back. We thank everyone for joining us on the call. We had a blast. And,
yes,
H.E., again, thank you so very much for joining us. We wish you all a very happy and safe and successful week, very prosperous week in your spirits and your hearts and just in your overall lives. And we will see you next week, Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you, AC, for joining us.
And also, thank you, Shantania. I know you weren't able to join us. Get back on the line.
Yes.
Thank you, too, as well.
Thank you.
Big ups to Young Masterminds of Atlanta.
Thank you, Rose.
Have a great week, everyone.
All right, goodbye.